T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the local lanes to the PBA Tour, bowling fans, welcome to the Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show, presented by the Milwaukee Area Napa Auto Care Associates. Now, here's your host, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in to another edition of the Spare Time Bowling Show, Sparky. Dwight Albert from the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. Bill Brilo here as well from Extra Frame and PBA.com. Lots going on in Phil Brilo's world. So, Phil, what happens after you get off the air here today? You going to go home and watch the Super Bowl?
Nope. Right in the truck. Down to Columbus we go. Extra Frame starts Tuesday from the Barbasol PBA Players Championship. And no rest for the wicked. Time to get down. I got to pick up some equipment in Indianapolis. We got repaired so we can get it even bigger and better for Extra Frame viewers. And it's going to be a good week in Columbus. Lots. You've got the biggest names out there. This is the biggest stretch of the PBA season outside of the World Series of Bowling. And it's time to kick it off with that Barbasol PBA Players Championship. Then we go to just outside Oklahoma City for the Tournament of Champions and then end up with the USBC Masters in Vegas the week after.
So, Dwight, what are your plans for today? Are you going to work to drill more bowling balls for people, or are you have the day off for the Super Bowl?
I do not.
You don't.
I'll be given a lesson this morning, and then I'll be, yes, drilling a few bowling balls for a while, going and see my mom in the nursing home. And then Betty and I will probably have a quiet evening at home for the Super Bowl.
Have you had the same thing talking to a couple of pro shop guys around town? You're getting a lot fewer bowling balls getting plugged and re-drilled, and you're getting more new purchases. It's kind of switched from a couple of years ago with the equipment that's coming out?
Yes and no. We are getting – it has been an up year for new ball sales, which is, of course, great. But, no, we are also bombarded with the plug work too. And the point is, obviously, is which one do we choose to do? You know, I mean, so it's one of those situations where what's the hottest priority, number one priority, and, of course, that's getting the new balls drilled. But – the tournament guys, I mean, usually there's a little lull coming out of Christmas and post-Christmas, and the tournament guys are really stepped up this year and wanted to get the new balls for the tournament. So it's one of those up years, we think, but it's keeping us busy, yes.
Yeah, I know, talking to a couple other pro shop guys in town, it's just been absolute insanity since Christmas. All the gift certificates are coming back in that people got for gifts, and people want to try a new ball, and so they're just plugging and redrilling the old one if it seems a little off to them.
Okay, so coming up today, as you heard in the promo just before we came on, Dave Lamont, the play-by-play guy for ESPN, the new play-by-play guy for ESPN. Seems like we go through one of these every couple of years, but we got a new one, Dave Lamont. He'll be coming on the show today. Looking forward to that at about 9:20. Before we get to that, also coming up a little bit later in the show, PBA had a press release earlier this week talking about TV ratings for the World Series of Bowling. So we'll get into that. And then today, actually not today, today's what, the 5th? A couple days ago, I guess. They put up pictures. I didn't realize Bayside Bowl was getting a brand new Bayside Bowl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Really?
A whole new
eight. Bowling heaven is changing?
Bowling heaven is getting better than ever. From talking with Charlie Mitchell, I saw him during the fall swing when we were at the World Series, or when we were at South Point in Las Vegas, and he was telling us the plans and everything. Big outdoor deck, solar power for the building, all this neat stuff they're doing. And basically, it's two separate bowling centers. It's you open up the doors, and you can turn it into one center. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I think last year during the PBA League, they were talking about that they were going to work on that for next year and that they were going upstairs with it.
The new eight-lane section has a mezzanine for the fans to sit and watch down over what's going on.
So they're building it for the PBA.
They're kind of building it for the PBA, for themselves, but for the PBA as well, just for the TV and getting the crowd atmosphere in there tight. There's an actual owner. Charlie goes, you got to get an invitation to the owner's box. There's an actual owner's box down the side of lane one. in the new section where it's got a window you can look out and see everything.
I love this guy.
Come on. An owner's box.
An owner's box.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he showed us the pictures of what it was going to be, and it's I'm going to get an invitation in the owner's box while I'm out there one way or another. That's going to be pretty awesome.
Right next to Jerry Jones.
We could set up extra frame in there. That'd be great. All of our equipment. I don't think he's going to let us slide with that.
Oh, my God. Hilarious.
Brock has a spare time show for the owner's box.
Okay, let's all go out there. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
See, this is what amazes me. And I had planned on talking about something else, and maybe we will if we have time. But from this perspective, all these bowling alleys that are shutting down across this country, I mean, they're shutting down, right? I mean, you had a bunch here in town that have shut down here in the last 5 years or whatever the case may be. Then you have some guys that are willing to invest the money and a lot of money in order to make it work. I mean, just think about it in Racine, Castle Lanes. I mean, he spent a lot of money at Castle Lanes to get that thing going again, right?
Yeah.
So from that perspective, you're pretty happy. Then if you look at the other bowling center in Racine, Landerman, he spent a bunch of money on what was Paradise West and to try and get that thing revitalized after that thing has been sitting there dead for years, right? I mean, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Paradise West was popular back when my dad was bowling in the 80s, but it's been a long time since it's been anything else. Changed the name, everything else. But so both of those. Then you've got, what is it, the lanes on South 27th Street.
JB's on 41.
Yeah, JB's on 41. Yeah. So you have those guys. He spent a bunch of money putting money into that thing and getting that thing going too. New Berlin Bowl has just always been very good, in my opinion. That the bar restaurant area in there is
they did a nice
almost
job.
Unmatched.
2006, they rebuilt it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did a nice job with it.
So they spent money on theirs too. I mean, there are a lot of people doing that. And those that do normally get repaid by people that are coming to bowl and wanting to be there.
Right.
Yet there are other bowling centers that just watch your bowling centers
just
and go,
it.
Well, it's not my fault. Bowling's just not as popular as it was. Yeah. What do you want me to do? That's exactly what you hear, Phil.
And the problem is that there's always ways to chase down business. It's just a matter of what target demographic you're going for. I mean, Phil Anko's usually pretty full at leagues. Friday night, he was a couple lanes down. Now he does that great special on Fridays. Mm-hmm. Good luck getting a lane when you're in there. You're going to be waiting for a couple of minutes when you walk in the door on a Friday night.
Yeah. Right.
And his league bowlers are happier than heck.
I look at it as this. I just think that there's just two sides to a proprietor. You have the old and want to milk it, and then you have the Phil and Charlie guys that have a different vision on how to get people into the center and continue to build the center, and not only that, our sport.
But see, for me at least, and I don't know what it's like in other smaller communities as far as Wisconsin goes. Mm-hmm. But what this dude is doing, I mean, he's got a young fan base, however he did it, motivated and excited about bowling. I mean, these aren't a bunch of, with all due respect to people that are 65, these aren't a bunch of 65-year-old men that are coming in there to bowl. I mean, this base of people that he has are all what, just out of college kids?
Yeah, I think his average league bowler age, you said, was 28. Mm-hmm. Which is about half of what it is here.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, if your average league bowler is in their 20s, that's good for the sport going forward if that's what you have. If your average league bowler is 55 or something like that, that's probably not good. That's what you want to do, because if he can get those people to watch the PBA Tour, which it seems like they do, now you're also talking about building the top level of the sport too. Now, how big is that community? That community's not very big, is it?
I think the metro area is 250,000.
Oh, it is Portland. Big. It's way bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's all around there. But there's people that drive 45 minutes to come into Bayside and bowl. They'll make that drive.
45 minutes?
Yeah, they'll make that because they love the atmosphere there. It's a social. It's not just a bowling center. It's a social center.
Right.
He's got it where it's
a party
You know, you got couches in the bar. Where you can sit around for a while. He's got very good. He's got very good food. He takes pride in his menu that's there.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, he goes, yeah, everybody's copied my tater tot poutine. Everybody in Portland's copied it now. Mm-hmm. We started. Everybody's got it copied. And he takes pride in all that stuff. Go ahead and copy me if it's working. Mm-hmm.
Too bad we can't get it in the Midwest like that.
But that's just it. I mean, how do you take it to that next level? Or how do you get people around here to start buying in at the level that he's got people buying in?
it's just a matter of most of the bowling centers you go into around here, they're old. The concourses are crowded. It's not easy to sit around once you're done. You have to have a really nice lounge area like Phil and Patty Anka do at Castle Lanes. I mean, you're not bumping into anybody there.
No.
That is a large
and Rad Velvet pool table. Oh, man, I love that pool table.
So, and that's one of the things, is that you have to do something to not only get people in the door, you have to make them stay in once they're done. You don't want them bowling their three games.
Well, and that's the advantage.
There's too much of that going on.
They have a New Berlin, too. I mean, that restaurant is gigantic. You're not bumping into anybody there either.
Exactly. Whereas I bowl Wednesday nights at AMF Bolero, and because the bar area is, you know, it's not the greatest there, and I know they're working on things. They're putting in all new TVs and screens and multimedia stuff that they're putting in there to try to get people to hang around and watch. And
that center just needs to be redone.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
And they're working on it.
Everything needs to be redone in that building.
Yeah, but
everything.
Everything. Everybody's in there. They bowl their three games, and they're out.
They're
the
out.
Door.
Right.
Yep. Remember that center was
11 o'clock on a Wednesday
you
night.
You just have to get to the point of modernizing that thing. Because people are still bowling there because it's Bolero. But, I mean, you at some point, I would think, have to put more money into that thing and modernize it to get it back. Because that does have the capabilities of being a really hot spot for sure. Because of where it's located off the interstate.
Yeah, but you can't hang around because we come on at 8 o'clock. There's a first shift league that gets done. And you're trying to get around each other so we can start bowling and they're done. And nobody wants, you know, once that's done, nobody wants to hang around and
hang out and do that thing. Built in 58, so, Sparky.
Yeah.
First remodel was 2001 before WIBC
came in. Say that again.
Built in 58.
Right.
Yeah, first remodel done that I remember in 2001.
Damn near 50 years!
Yeah. Yep. And
oh my
I didn't
God.
Care for the remodel. I didn't care for it at all. I liked the old one where there was like a brick wall between the lanes, the settee area, and the concourse. You know, again, in the 60s and 70s, and I'm dating myself again, but I remember Bolero when it was first built. It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous for the 60s and 70s, correct, when bowling was booming.
And now it's behind the times again.
Yeah, it is.
And they're
tremendously
working on it. They're starting to put it, they just started putting in some new furniture in the concourse area. They just redid the floor in the entire bowlers area, all 72 lanes.
They're going to redo the lanes? The lanes? How are the lanes?
Well, lanes are in decent shape. Yeah.
They're
15 year old synthetics.
So they're okay then.
Yeah, they're in good shape. So, hey, I'm averaging 220 there. I'm happy.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, it's a popular spot for what it is. I'm just saying it's got a chance to be really good because of its location, where it is.
Exactly. Yeah. There's nothing within miles of that place. And hopefully, you know, and we're talking with Dan Patterson, the GM there, you know, there's a lot of stuff he wants to do. He wants to bring scratch bowling back. He wants to do stuff for a Wednesday night scratch league and make it bigger and better. It's just a matter of he's got the corporate entity above him that can – you know, just look at the,
because
they look at numbers. They don't look at the people. They look at numbers.
Yeah, because if you look at Bowlmore as an organization, other parts of the country, I mean, their centers are beautiful. Yeah. And then I'm thinking, looking at Bolero, I'm like, that's the polar opposite.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's a major fixer-upper. But you're dealing, again, with a building that is 50 years old or more.
And one thing with Charlie Mitchell is he knows he's not going to be a millionaire off of what he does. He knows he's going to do very well for himself. And
he must be doing pretty good if he's adding on this whole level with a mezzanine section in an owner's box. He can't be that hard off.
Yeah, but it's not like he's out flying his private plane or anything like that. But he knows part of it is, but he knows part of this is that, you know, he enjoys being the proprietor. You got the give and take, whereas with Bowlmore or some of these corporate chains, you know, there's no take. It's all give.
There's
all take.
Yeah. We had him on the last week of the year last year on our show.
We should get him on next week.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'd like to get him on next week. Talk about this because
knowing Charlie, he might even be listening to us right now.
They've got the pictures up at PBA.com of what this thing is looking like as they're continuing trying to get this thing done in time.
Gorgeous.
It's just amazing. There are some people in this industry that you look at and you go, man, why can't we have more people like that dude?
Exactly.
Trying to figure out how to get this thing to where everybody wants to get it to. I mean, everybody wants to get the sport to where it probably was in the 70s and the 80s. Now, again, I don't know if that's possible or not. It may not be, but that's the goal.
Wasn't he proprietor of the year last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bowler's Journal named him. Yeah, absolutely. Should be again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got an owner's box.
Man, I'd love to just see it.
Like I said, I can't wait to be there for Extra Frame because we're going to cover the Roth-Holman doubles before it gets to TV on ESPN in April.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything with the PBA League as well. There's an actual qualifier the Thursday before they tape the TV shows to see how the teams will be seated.
So the TV pair is going to be 1 and 2 then?
The TV pair, I think, will be in the. I think it'll be those lanes in the middle of that section.
He's got the owner's box next to one. You can't put the TV pair away from the owner's box. If I was him, I'd throw a fist. I'm just telling you. Yeah, I built this stupid thing for y'all. Now you're going to make the TV pair where I can sit here and kind of reach out and touch the ball as it goes by.
Well, the problem with if you're on lane, if the, you know, the mezzanine section is right by lane one, I think you could maybe, well, you're above the lanes. I was going to say you might have a hard time watching the ball going to the pins.
I'm assuming the mezzanine section goes behind all of them, right?
It goes behind that whole section.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is it, eight lanes, you said?
Yeah, eight lanes.
So it's going to be kind of like South Point, because South Point is similar to that, right? Where they have that section of seats behind it.
Exactly. With the permanent stadium seating.
Right.
Yep, all the way behind.
That's what it's
going to
be like. South
outside.
Point's beautiful, boy. If you ever get a chance to go out there. I mean, I know the World Series of Bowling isn't there anymore, but that bowling stadium
Men's
is
Nationals
awesome.
Are there, are there this year.
Nationals are this
year. That is awesome.
And they're over 10,000 teams for the first time in a few years. So
a lot of people want to see it, just like what you're talking about.
Oh, dude, it's so gorgeous. I was heartbroken when they left there. But, well, whatever. They can have fun in Reno. Okay, let's take a quick time out. We'll come back. And we will check in with the newest play-by-play guy for ESPN. Dave Lamont from ESPN joins us straight ahead. Castle Lane's Spare Time Bowling Show presented by the Milwaukee Area Napa Auto Care Association. Get in now. Sign up for your bowling ball if you want a chance to win a bowling ball from Track. The Track Mako. Look at me. Track Mako bowling ball. If a chance to sign up and win that, all you have to do is go to MILWCAR.com. MILWCAR.com. And if you win, Dwight Albrecht will do a free drilling for you as well. Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show presented to you by the Milwaukee Area Napa Auto Care Association. Your chance to win a Track Mako bowling ball by going to MILWCAR.com. MILWCAR.com. Dwight Albrecht will do a free drilling for you as well if you win it. Again, you have until the end of the month to get signed up for that. Again, MILWCAR.com. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He is the new play-by-play voice for the PBA Tour on ESPN, Dave Lamont. You can follow him at DaveLamont1 on Twitter. Dave, thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so for those people that know you from now a little bit of time on ESPN with the PBA Tour, let's just go over a little bit of your background as far as, you know, how you got in the play-by-play field and where you've been.
Well, I've been with ESPN or ABC since 2004. Before that, I worked all over the state of Florida where I still live, either on radio play-by-play for different colleges like University of Miami. I worked 7 years with the Miami Heat as the TV host in the 1990s. I've been broadcasting since I was about 18 years old. Once I quickly figured out that I had zero future in athletics, as an athlete anyway. And so this was my best entree into sports was to go into radio first and then work this way into TV.
You and I are the exact same person. I realized in eighth grade I had no future in sports and then started doing everything to get to sports talk, so you and I are together on that one.
If you get cut from your freshman basketball team, that's your hint.
No, I was just always the smallest guy in the class, so I was like, I'm not going to get any much bigger. I'm not going to bother with this. Hey, let me ask you this. When you do play-by-play for bowling, how much different is that than, say, basketball, which is way more fast-paced and a different flow?
Completely different. I mean, in basketball, in bowling, I always kid around that I use my inside voice a lot because it's such an intimate setting and you're not that far from where the bowlers are on the approach. So I think there's a lot more silence in bowling announcing than there is in a basketball game, although it's nice every once in a while just to hear the sneakers squeaking and let the crowd take over. But to me, it's set up and react as opposed to basketball, where you can really have a free-flowing conversation. I don't think you can do that in bowling as much. And plus, bowling has such great natural sound that I think it's great to let's hear that ball hit the lane, let's hear it grind its way down, and let's see what happens with the reaction to the shot.
Dave, you also have done the ladies bowling tour for many years, didn't you?
I did. I started. That's where I got my bowling announcing starting in 2010, actually. ESPN asked if I would be interested, and I started working for the USBC doing the collegiate and the women's majors. And really, I was always a bowling fan to begin with, so I jumped at the opportunity, and it was just incredible fun and met some people that I really adore. And that sort of gave the PBA, that when they needed a new person to come in, they went, oh, wait a minute, this guy's been doing bowling. You know, at least we know he has experience.
What is it like to work with Randy Peters?
About as crazy as you think it is.
I fully agree.
It's been a real pleasure. Randy has accepted me immediately, and he's gone through so many partners over the years. And he doesn't know sometimes, I think, doing what or who's going to say what. So I try to give him a lot of room to run. I think that's part of the play-by-play job, is to give your analyst, who knows way more about the sport than I do, to give him the opportunity to roam around a little bit. And if I have to rope him in, I will. But he knows how to get back home.
Talking with Dave Lamont, ESPN play-by-play guy for the PBA Tour here on the Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show on The Fan. From the aspect of, you know, when you do other sports, you know, you obviously have to prep. You got to get the numbers for the jerseys and all that other stuff. What's the prep like for doing a PBA Tour event? Because I'm not sure how early you fly in when you do live shows or how right. that all works for you.
Well, starting the next 3 weeks, I mean, this event that we're doing today, the Terrell Owens Clash, is a little bit of an exception because there's no qualifying. There's no lead up to this. We just do it. Starting next week, you know, Extra Frame, of course, will be broadcasting from Columbus, so I'll start to watch some of that when I get an opportunity at home, and then I'll get in town on Friday for a Sunday show, and that'll give me a chance to go to the center and just scout out who's bowling well, who's doing well, how are these guys acting to the conditions, and get a chance to talk to some of the bowlers about what they're facing. And then on Saturday, once the show is set, then we have a separate interview time with each of the finalists, and then we can pick their brains. Even if it's someone like Mel Belmo, who's been on 1,000 shows, you're always hoping that he'll say something fresh or something that is relevant to that particular pattern that they're going to be bowling on. Those are the key things. It's not like I have to memorize who they are because they're right in front of me, and it's a lot easier. It's because every condition, every week is going to be different. Every pattern is going to be different. How do they react to all that, I think, is what I'm after.
Has it been easier for you to pick up the technical end of the side of bowling the more you've been involved with the sport?
It has, but I still don't understand some of it, and I probably best that I don't. Because, again, my job, maybe a little bit of analysis. You know, I might notice a ball change, but if I notice a ball change, I want to ask Randy why. You know, why was there a ball change in the middle of a match? I'll let him handle the strategies, understanding how the oil affects the ball, understanding the shots that have to be made, the adjustments that have to be made. He will always know more. I could be a bowling announcer for the next 100 years, and Randy will always have that edge on me. So I don't try to be smarter than him. I think that would be a mistake, and you know, let him do what he does, and I'll do what I do. But yeah, I definitely was blown away when I first started about the subtleties that the pros understand that the average bowler, and I am definitely an average bowler, would never have learned.
One of the things that we go back and forth on the show, me being the old guy of the group here, Dave, is I'm more the traditionalist on the show. As a play-by-play guy, is there a format that you prefer calling, like the stepladder versus the mini eliminator?
I'm a stepladder guy all the way. I grew up on that on Saturdays for 13 weeks.
Thank you.
January to the Tournament of Champions at Firestone and Akron. And that was where I learned to love bowling on television with Chris and Bo. And that's the way I prefer it. I understand the tour likes to tinker, and that's fine. And, you know, we had the unusual formats in Reno when we shot the one-hour shows when pace is important. I enjoyed the pace of that. I thought we're doing the rest of February. I want five people, and I want somebody to have to claw their way through.
So I'm with Dave Lamont, play-by-play guy for ESPN for the PBA Tour. Of course, you'll catch them coming up later this afternoon as you do every Super Bowl Sunday. What is that, 2 o'clock Central Time, Phil, I think, this afternoon?
1 o'clock Central.
1 o'clock Central Time, yeah, later on this afternoon. What about from this perspective? You said you were with the Miami Heat for a while. dealing with NBA players, NBA coaches versus dealing with PBA players?
Oh, it's very different. I mean, even in the 90s, which I was there for the transition from Kevin Lockery, he was probably the most down-to-earth person I've ever met in sports, to Pat Riley, who, you know, has this incredible, almost impenetrable aura around him. Even now, even though he hasn't coached in years, there's definitely some different egos, some different demands. I mean, after a while, these guys just get weary, the basketball players, in the middle of the year, physically and mentally, and they're not as easy to deal with. But in bowling, since you don't have that 82-game-a-week grind that these guys, or 82-game season, I should say, the grind these guys go through, they're a little fresher, easy to deal with for the most part once they get to know you. And that's part of my goal here in the next couple of weeks, since I haven't seen that many events up close, and the ones I have been, everything's already pretty much been decided. So I'm looking forward to, you know, meeting a few more and shaking some more hands and getting to know these players better.
Are you amazed, like we are, kind of, as far as where these young guns have come from in the PBA Tour? I mean, there are so many young guys that look like they're going to be here for a while. There's got to be at least a half dozen of them that you look at and go, these guys are going to be around for the next 10, 15 years.
Well, look, we're going to get a young gun. We're going to announce Player of the Year today, and undoubtedly it's going to be a young gun. I mean, you know, you look at E.J. Tackett is probably the favorite.
Yep.
Jesper Svensson is, what, 22?
Mm-hmm.
How accomplished is this guy? And not only young bowlers from the United States, but young bowlers from, you know, Frankie Lavoie is certainly going to be a Rookie of the Year candidate from Canada. The other thing that's helped, college bowling. You're finding more of the international players, and Wichita State is certainly the one you think of when you think of college bowling, and that's where Lavoie came from. But that has had a big impact also. If you go to the right place with the right coaching and not what Chris Barnes used to call a bus driver coaching the team, then you can get an incredible education in the subtleties of the sport and then go right into professional bowling. And that's another thing I think that's really helping the youth, is having a place to go, and plus the increase in high school bowling as well. The high school there where I am in the Fort Lauderdale area just added bowling this year, and that's very encouraging, because as these older players start to retire or go to PBA 50, we need the young players, and we're getting them.
What about, from this perspective, as far as the purse money on the PBA Tour? Because I think there for a while, maybe it still holds true a little bit. The purse money is definitely getting bigger, though, as we're going forward, a little by little. That, you know, guys that were going to college to bowl and stuff like that looked at the PBA Tour and said, yeah, man, that's going to be awfully tough for me to make a living, you know, trying to do that if I'm not on TV every other week or whatever. I'm going to do something else, you know, with my life. Because I remember having a conversation with E.J. Tackett a couple years ago saying, there's better bowlers than him that he knows that chose to do something else because of, you know, the amount of money that they thought they could make in the PBA.
Well, two names popped in my mind immediately. Mike Fagan, incredibly successful pro bowler, but decided that there was something else he needed to do with his life, and he stepped away from the tour. He does competitively bowl, but nothing at the level he did before.
Right.
And Matt McNeil. Who I bumped into in Reno last year, and I've known Matt a little bit from his Wichita State days, and from he was at the IB Open in St. Louis that I worked on last year. Matt is a fantastic, accomplished player, and I remember bumping into him in Reno and saying, hey, man, I can't wait to see you starting next year. He says, no, I'm not going to be around. I go, what are you talking about? And his work is his primary source of income. I can't remember exactly what it is he does.
He works for Tiger Corporation.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So, Matt, you know, here is a guy who could absolutely make any show, but he had to choose a more stable, in his mind anyway, life, and that is to go ahead and work full-time. There are others like Erin McCarthy, a great player on the women's tour, whose nursing job allows her to pursue the summers on the PWBA. But, yeah, I would love to see the situation where guys and women don't have to make those choices, but they're tough choices, and you have to think about your whole life, not just your bowling life.
Dave, it's great having you a part of the PBA family, and it's fun watching you on ESPN. Look forward to seeing you on later on this afternoon.
Yeah, 1 o'clock with an unfortunately snub PO. which none of us saw that one coming. So who knows what he'll be saying when Kimberly Pressler grabs him for an interview today. Could be very interesting.
Could be very interesting. All right, hey, man, have fun later on this afternoon.
Will do. Thanks for the time. Look forward to it.
You betcha. There he is. Dave Lamont of the PBA Tour, play-by-play guy on ESPN on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. After 80 years of helping Wisconsin homeowners, Great Midwest Bank knows a thing or two about helping you buy, build, refinance, or renovate. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com. They're ready when you are. We'll talk about that PBA event coming up this afternoon, the celebrity event coming up next. Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show. Presented to you by the Milwaukee Area Napa Auto Care Association. Your chance to win that Trek Mako bowling ball by going to MILWCAR.com. Get your entries in. Get them in. Chop, chop. It goes to the end of the month. Tell your friends. Tell your family members. If they're not interested in bowling, who cares? They can give you the bowling ball if they win. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You're just trying to use them to get you a free bowling ball you can use in league play or whatever the case may be. And this Mako bowling ball is nice, huh, Dwight?
Yeah, we had our demo day two Thursdays ago, and out of the eight new releases that Ebonite's brands have, the Mako by far, to me, had the best look. So I think it's going to be a very popular tournament ball going into April or in the end of our season, yes.
That's awesome. So get registered again, MILWCAR.com. Also, don't forget Castle Lane's $5 Fridays as they're celebrating their anniversary, 25th anniversary. And that is a very cool deal. That's noon until 9 o'clock. You can bowl all you want with shoe rental for $5. Then they have their moonlight bowling or whatever they're calling it down there from 9 to 11. Now, this is the deal. So it's $5 all you can bowl. But you have to be on the lanes and sign up to be on the lanes by 9 p.m. And then all bowling goes back to regular pricing as soon as 11 o'clock hits. So if you get there at 9, you get 2 hours of $5. That's all you can bowl for a couple of hours. And then it goes back to regular bowling. You get there at 6, you can bowl all the way to 11 o'clock for just $5. And that includes shoe rental. So, again, even if you live in Milwaukee, it's worth driving down there. And the money you're going to save easily to take advantage of that. And then Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., like mornings like this, you go down to Castle Lanes, bowl all you want between 10 and 1. Again, everything goes back to normal pricing at 1. But for 3 hours, you can go down there and bowl for less than $7. That includes shoe rental, too. Again, it's just a no-brainer. Castle Lanes, there's nothing holding you back now. Check them out on Facebook, Castle Lanes. Phil Anko and his crew do a great job down there. Okay, so Phil Brilo, tell us, please, what we're going to watch later this afternoon on ESPN as we get ready for the Super Bowl at 1 o'clock.
Well, with the Super Clash, it's going to be similar format to what we've seen in the Chris Paul Celebrity Invitational in the past. They're going to pair up the pros with the football players like Terrell Owens, and they're going to do a doubles competition. I know there's also going to be a special competition. They're inviting the Teen Masters under 14 champions from 2016 to do a special event with a couple of the pros as well, where they're going to try a football type style scoring system where if a bowler gets a strike, it's a touchdown. And then the pro bowler has to kick the extra point by getting a strike as well. So just something different for TV and the fun with the celebrities. And we'll see what happens for a couple hours out there.
They're going to do that. They're going to do that for the whole game, that type of format.
I think it's just four frames. It's just an exhibition for the Team Masters kids that are out there.
Okay, because I was thinking the score is going to be like 80-65 or something.
Yeah, no, that's such a great event that Gary Beck puts on. It's nice to see. We had the Team Masters Grand Finals on ESPNU. Just after the holidays, and now the under 14 kids that won at
So this, again, for people used to watching the Chris Paul tournament, this is not the Chris Paul tournament.
It's not the Chris Paul tournament. The Chris Paul tournament's on
That's with Kevin Hart and all those guys.
Yep. That'll be on later on this month. And I believe it's Friday the 18th is when Paul is on.
I don't care what it takes. Do not let Kevin Hart not bowl in this thing. Whatever it takes. This man sells out stadiums around the country. This man's Twitter following is ridiculous. You have to make sure he is part of this event. Call it the Kevin Hart event for all I care. I know Chris Paul is all that in a bag of chips and he's hurt right now. But do something. I mean, Kevin Hart's just funny, dude. I'm sorry. All right. So let's talk about ratings with the PBA Tour and how things are looking right now. As far as from the Geico PBA World Series of Bowling telecast, they put out a press release this week. Now, they had a Christmas Day audience of more than 1 million viewers for the PBA Scorpion Championship. More than 1 million people. Yeah. Watch.
Pretty awesome.
Got an idea. Hey, y'all. Y'all get a chance to be on Christmas Day again. Do a live show. Now, I know it doesn't matter that it's live or tape, right? Because 95% of the people can't tell the difference. And I mean, unless you're a bowling dork, right, that hangs out on Facebook with Dwight and analyzes every little thing.
Just, just describe me.
Then you know that it's taped. Or if you listen to the show, you know it's taped. But most people don't, right? Most people, casual fan doesn't know that it's taped. So I'm not saying necessarily from that aspect of why you would do something like that. But again, just me, if I can make a live Christmas Day show and I'm going to do what, you know, people don't want to hear, I'm going to pick who I want to bowl on my live TV show on Christmas Day. I'm going to pick my guys. I'm going to pick my stars to bowl on it. Call it the All-Star event on Christmas Day, the Christmas Day All-Star event. And pick your guys that draw ratings that you know. Pete, you're bowling. I don't care if you're in a walker. You're bowling. Don't care. You can throw the walker across the lanes for all I care. You're bowling, though. You're in it. You know, Belmonte, you're bowling. I don't care how bad you may have been the last year. You're bowling. I mean, from that aspect, if you drew a million people, and I don't remember who was in the Scorpion. Who was even? Do you remember who was in the Scorpion? I don't. No. A million people for that. That is awesome. I mean, you
Walter
can't
was,
get much
Walter
better
was
than
in
that.
Scorpion.
Walter was in Shark.
Oh, Shark.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, but that is awesome that they're able to pull that off, right? 15% increase in viewership year over year to close out the 2016 PBA season on ESPN. Christmas Day audience was the highest for a PBA event on ESPN in 2 years. Okay, that's good too. Now, let's move on. In addition to the viewership gains at ESPN, World Series of Bowling 8 also had strong reach and increases across the rest of the multi-phase PBA network. The PBA's digital streaming service, Extra Frame, featuring Phil Brilo, which webcasts more than 100 hours of live coverage, had a 15% subscription increase over 2015. That's nice. But the big number is 49% increase in a three-day subscription passes. 49%? Why?
I think because of the match play format. Once we got through qualifying at the World Series, there were 3 days of match play.
And that's what people want to see.
From 24 to, and that's exactly people want to see. Every game meant something because it was best 3 of 5.
Yep.
And somebody's gone after this game. One way, you know, after the third game of every event, somebody's gone after this game. Who's it going to be?
I
really think that's where the 3 day. I don't have the numbers, but I think that's where the 3 day pass increase came from.
You want to talk intense? I mean, it's like going back to the 70s again when they came to Bolero and for the Milwaukee Miller Classic. Why did Thursday and Friday night sell out and you couldn't even get a seat in the stands because it was all match play?
And now with the first two events of this year, with the Barbasol PBA Players Championship and the Fire Lake Tournament of Champions, there's no match play. It's all qualifying all the way through, and then you just make cuts all the way through. So there's no match play at all. That's something that the players voted and wanted, and that's something that they're going to try for the first couple events and see what the reaction is with not just the players, but with the fans and crowd as well. It's going to be interesting for us on Extra Frame without
my
match
take.
Can I put my take on this?
Yeah.
You first.
I don't like it.
I hate it. Horrible. What? First of all, so let me get this straight. So if I come to qualifying, right, and I'm a fan, I'm just watching dude bowl, other dude bowl, not bowling each other, or they're just bowling for a high score.
Right.
Nope. Not interested. Mm-hmm. If I'm coming and I know I'm going to get to see match play and it's going to come down to who's going to make TV, who's not going to make TV, I think me personally, now again, but I'm kind of bowling dork, not as much as Dwight, but kind of bowling dork, where I want to see the competition, the stress level, feel the energy on the room build as this guy's got to hit this shot or that shot. That's what I want to feel. I don't know if I'm going to, I can't imagine I'm going to feel that this other way.
Yeah. Summer series and at AMF West, match play to make the top five, and it's the matches Pete Weber versus Norm Duke. You could not get a spot to stand behind those guys to watch that one match.
Oh, I can imagine.
Now, they did it at the Fall Swing Detroit. They did no match play for those animal pattern rounds. But the difference was it was only 14. It was only 16 games total in qualifying. So you had the 8 games of qualifying. They cut to the top 16 guys and 8 more games. So the field was bunched up. What I'm afraid of is that we're going to get to Friday night in Columbus, and it's going to be game number 40 of qualifying, and there's going to be 150 pins between 5th and 6th spot. Mm-hmm. And for us on Extra Frame, how are we going to make that exciting for the fans?
Well,
you entertain the fans, Phil, with your entertaining personality. That's how this works.
That.
That's why they've got you there.
My charm and everything else.
Right, yeah, tell jokes. I mean, Rami Makhlouf on the Big Show, he can give you some jokes. He's a stand-up comedian.
Heard some of his jokes.
I wouldn't use them, I mean, you'll get in a lot of trouble probably from Tom Clark. I probably wouldn't advise using them. I don't like that at all. Yes. Why do the players want that?
Yeah.
They think that some cases in the past there could have been matches thrown.
Thrown?
Yeah.
I've never seen a match.
That's a huge allegation. You just dropped a bomb on the Spirit Time Bowling Show.
Guys, don't try as hard. If it's the game before the position round and the number one guy is bowling the guy that's in 23rd place, the guy in 23rd place is probably just going through the motions while the guy in first place is trying to get every penny he can to make sure he stays in first place after position.
Well, I think there's a point where they know they're out of it, but I've never seen a match thrown in my life.
You couldn't prove that anyway. I mean, if you wanted to miss a 10-pin here or there, Dwight, you're good enough to make it look like you didn't mean to miss it.
I swear to God, if I found out who was doing that, they'd be off the tour.
Right.
Yeah. Gone. See ya. But I want guys that are going to compete and be top-ranked competitors. Yeah. If you're not there for that, why are you on the tour, man? Get off.
That makes no sense.
Boy, oh boy. That would infuriate me.
And, oh, yeah.
Well, he opened up a whole can of worms is all he did. Opened up a whole can of worms. Good thing we're not on national ESPN. This would be the headline on SportsCenter. Bowlers throwing matches. It'd be all over the place. USA Today would have a spread on it. Phil Brile would be interviewed by everybody. The PBA would be denying it up and down. Phil doesn't know what he's talking about. This would just completely blow up. Yeah, you don't want to hear that type of stuff.
Well, no.
So now because there's not match play, and now you're bowling high score type stuff.
Yeah.
So now the guy in 50th place is going to try harder?
No, they're going to make cuts as the week goes on. So by the time we get to the last round Friday night, there's only I believe there's only 16 bowlers bowling that last round.
So how much of a chance does a 16th bowler really have if you don't have match play?
It all depends on how close the field is, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this is the first time they're really doing this with a long format event, so it's going to be interesting to see where it ends up. And
dude, give me match play. Give me 1 versus 16, and if 16 beats 1, 1's out and 16 advances. Yeah. Give me that drama.
Well, you'll get that back at the Masters. The Masters didn't change their format. That's still the 64 guys in the bracket after qualifying and then 3-game total pin matches until we get to the 5 on TV. So that's still, for the purists, that's still going to be out there on Extra Frame. You can watch all those matches and the winner's bracket, loser's bracket, until they get all the way through and get to our top 5. So that'll still be there. But yeah, for the first 2 events this year, it's strictly qualifying all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
So 40 games of qualifying.
Because here's the thing that I think of right away when I hear that is, why do you think college basketball, when they get to March Madness, is so exciting? Because it's 64 to 32 to 16 to 8, 4, 2, and 1.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's that one-on-one match play type of thing.
Well, look at when the exempt tour first came out. What was that? 1 versus 64 every week, best of 7 matches, and all of a sudden bowlers didn't like that format, so they had the 7 games of qualifying and only made it 32 in that advance to the bracket. And eventually, after enough stuff got said back and forth and people didn't like the formats, all of a sudden we're back to what it was in the 70s and 80s with the qualifying and the match play, and now they're trying something different again.
He is Phil Brile, Extra Frame with PBA.com. Dwight Albrecht here as well, New Berlin Pro Shop, New Berlin Spare Time Pro Shop. That's why we call this bowling show the Spare Time Bowling Show. I'm Steve Sparky Fiverr. Catch me weekday afternoons from 2 to 6 on the Wendy's Big Show. We'll come back. And, I want to talk a little bit about what bowling alleys are like at different times of the year compared to grocery stores. Yeah, I said it. Stay tuned to find out more. Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show, presented to you by the Milwaukee Area Napa Auto Care Association. Check them out at MILWCAR.com. MILWCAR.com. Chance to win a Track Mako bowling ball. All you have to do is sign up. It's pretty simple, not all that hard. And again, like I said earlier, tell your friends and family members, even if they're not bowling fans, sign up, and if they win, they can give you the bowling ball and have Dwight Albrecht drill it for you for free. As many people as you know involved in this drawing to help you win. It's not rocket science. More things you have in, the better chance you have of winning the drawing, right?
Not that hard. And you get to meet me.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah, there is that too, Dwight. They get to meet you. Sheesh. Okay. So I talked about this last night on our Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame. Showing only got 3 minutes left. So I realized yesterday that going grocery shopping the day before the Super Bowl was dumb. just stupid because it's packed. So the day before Thanksgiving, it's a big day to go shopping, right? The day before, you know, Christmas Eve in that area, dumb because the grocery stores are going to be packed. Day before Easter, it's going to be packed. I wasn't thinking clearly with that. What days of the year for open bowling are the biggest for bowling centers around the country when you start talking about, okay, well, I'm going to go bowling here. I better make sure I get there early or whatever the case may be because it's good. Because I could think of right away, like everybody seemingly has a Thanksgiving 9-pin no-tap tournament. I think that's one that's easy. That's the most popular in my mind that people go.
I would say the night before Thanksgiving.
Wednesday night too. Before Thanksgiving.
The bowling alley is typically packed with a waiting list. The first year that we were at New Berlin, they were out the door, Sparky, waiting to get a lane. Out the door.
Yeah, even this year at Bolero, we got done bowling on Wednesday night, and there were 40 lanes going after we were done.
About New Year's Eve?
Yep, New Year's Eve is huge. Also, we actually, New Berlin has squads of, like you get a pitcher of beer, a pizza, a party type of thing, and they turn off the lights. And there's several shifts during the, so you'll have like one at 2 to 5 and then 5 to 8 and 8 to 11 and stuff like that.
So you pay to get on a 3-hour block or whatever the case may be, and then you have to be out. They don't let you sit there all night and bowl.
Well, you got the next reservation group coming in.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They kind of gear the different shifts. Like if you have younger kids, they'll do a fake earlier. Ball drop at 6 p.m.
Right.
Hey, happy New Year.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
So it's really family friendly on top of it.
So Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, New Year's Eve, what do bowling alleys look like on Super Bowl Sunday? Dead?
Yeah, I would imagine they're not dead, but I just don't think there's a lot in the lanes. Yeah. Everyone's watching the TV.
Super Bowl, right?
Having dinner, watching TV, yeah.
I know.
The year the Packers made it, 2010, the year that we won, no one was bowling, but the whole concourse was full of people watching the game, having dinner.
Yeah, and I know places that'll do, there's some, I can't remember, some places up north in Milwaukee that are doing 51-cent games of bowling today during the Super Bowl. So if you come out and bowl during the Super Bowl, it's only 51 cents a game.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a smart way to do it.
I would have the Super Bowl on every TV in the house, and I'd have the audio piped in over the top.
Yep. Right.
So if you wanted to hear commercials, whatever else, it would be on. Yep. And then, you know, run Super Bowl specials to go along with it. All right, that'll do it for the Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show, presented to you by the Milwaukee Area Napa Auto Care Association. My thanks to Dave Lamont, play-by-play guy for the PBA Tour and ESPN, for joining us. Next week, we're going to talk to hopefully the owner of Bowling Heaven as they continue to expand heaven. My goodness. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Phil Brilo, Dwight Albrecht of the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. We'll talk to you next week. Same time, 9 o'clock, here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.